Hello and welcome to the Outlifting Lounge. This is the show that's all about pride, health and fitness, and everything in between. I'm Derek.
I'm Alan.
And thank you so much for joining us for our very first episode of the Outlifting Lounge.
So, Alan, what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about what we're watching on the telly just now.
We should probably touch as well on some of the news stories that are affecting the LGBT community at the minute.
And I guess since we're fitness coaches, we better talk about some health and fitness stuff as well.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
I suppose, though, because this is episode one, it might be a good idea for us to introduce ourselves and tell a little bit about ourselves so that people know who we are and what we're about.
Yes.
So first up, we are, and I would hope that you know this already, but we are a married couple.
What? Are we?
A happily married couple.
Happily married couple. Should we talk about that time in the Gorbals when somebody asked if we were brothers and Derek pointed to his rainbow wristband and went, no, we're married. Because that means you're married, apparently.
Do you know what? It was such an embarrassing thing that I had to change my rainbow wristband. I don't wear it anymore just because I probably will do that again. But it is quite an easy thing to do to point to your watch strap instead of your wedding ring.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure there's somebody else that's done it.
Okay. If you have done it, let us know.
Thanks for getting that out. I'm going to spend the rest of this podcast thinking about embarrassing stories I can tell to you. So yeah, we're a married couple. And last year we decided to start a brand new life together. So we sold practically everything we owned. Whatever we didn't sell, we put into our car, including our dog.
Yes.
Haggis.
He will make an appearance at one point. He's upstairs sleeping just now.
Yeah. We packed everything in the car, including Haggis. And we drove. We drove for 9 days, including two ferries.
Yes. You can drive from Glasgow to Gran Canaria if you ever want to do that. Probably don't advise it because it takes quite a while, but you can do it.
It was. It was quite an adventure, though. It was magical. We got to see quite a lot of Spain.
We did, yes.
And it was really nice. So we drove all the way from Glasgow to Gran Canaria, and we are here where this podcast is being filmed from today in sunny Maspalomas in Gran Canaria.
Yes, we've been here now a year and a half, which is just crazy.
That is.
We're just about to have our second Christmas here, but even better, our second Winter Pride.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk a wee bit about that later.
We're very excited about Winter Pride coming up.
And as if we don't spend enough time together, we decided in January to launch Outlifting, which is a queer fitness business to help gay, bi and trans men transform their bodies, their minds and their confidence. And what better place to do it than the gay capital of Europe?
Yeah. And I think the experience of doing that and working with so many different guys, helping them overcome their obstacles and get really fit. And it's not just about getting fit. It's about being happy and confident in your own skin.
Yeah.
And seeing that transformation in so many guys, it has been incredible, but it's what spurred us on to launch this podcast so that we can reach more guys out there who might benefit from the eventual health and nutrition and fitness tips that we're going to give after we get through all of the chat.
Yes. Yeah.
So this podcast is going out on Sunday, the 26th of October, 2025.
Have you put your clocks back? I hope you have.
Yeah. Alan gets really paranoid every time that the clocks change because he is a bit old fashioned and thinks that all of the clocks in the house need to be manually changed, but it's not really like that anymore, is it?
Yeah, I had to change the oven.
No, you changed the oven.
I had to change that. I'm not going to click. I was going to say microphone. Microwave.
Okay.
But our phones obviously do that automatically.
Yeah. I think the car.
The car.
I think the car changed itself.
I didn't notice actually. I need to come check that.
Anyway, that's that done. I unfortunately did not get an extra hour of sleep in bed last night because my body clock woke me up an hour earlier.
Haggis was very happy about that though because he still got out at normal time.
True. I'm not. I am very, very tired today because I've not really been sleeping very well recently and I was hoping for that. I was really wanting that extra hour of sleep.
It was nice and light this morning though. It's been dark when we've been taking Haggis out. Although I'm not looking forward to tonight when it's going to be dark at like 6:30.
No.
I feel sorry for anybody listening to this in the UK when it's going to be dark at 4:30.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
This is definitely the time of year where I feel very smug and very happy about the fact that I don't live so far north anymore.
Yes.
Because during the winter here, I think we get more hours quite a few more hours of daylight, and it does make a difference.
Yeah.
It really makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Makes me happier.
Longer on the beach.
Yes. Everybody's going to switch off because they're going to be so sick of four of us on the beach all the time.
But right. Let's talk about traitors.
If you're from the UK or Ireland, you're probably watching Celebrity Traitors UK at the minute. If you're not from there and you're not watching it, you are absolutely missing out.
Yeah. And also, spoiler alert, maybe, if we give anything away. I don't think we will, but just put that out there because you know what it's like when you get spoilers.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we'll give away who has given the boot.
You've got loose lips sometimes.
Loose lips. Very tight hips, though, unfortunately. I just definitely need to stretch more.
As old age.
Yeah. It is old age. I've started to creak. Never mind moisturizer. I think I need WD-40.
Yes.
Man. So, yeah. We have been watching quite a bit of Celebrity Traitors, which is really, really good. I think my favorite thing about this series of the Traitors is how many memes have been born out of this one series. And we're only like 6 episodes in.
I know. It has been pretty good for that. I mean, Alan Carr, icon. Tom Daly and his side eye, icon.
Tom Daly's side eye is just, I think I've probably sent it to you on WhatsApp several many times.
Yes. And can I just say, if you've never done that in your life, are you even gay? Alan with his little lantern. Were you going to put the bins out on bin day? Or were you forgot to put the bins out on bin day?
That image of Alan Carr lives rent-free in my head. Honestly, brilliant. I see it constantly everywhere. And that'll be us now that the clocks have changed and it's getting dark earlier. We will be doing that all the time with our phone lights.
I know.
Thinking that we're Alan Carr.
Although, as much as I'm loving it, I'm really, really annoyed that they haven't caught a traitor yet.
That was a spoiler. I don't know. I think it's made the game interesting because it's not like other seasons. So obviously we are absolute
Traitors fans.
We've watched all of the UK Traitors civilian seasons.
American.
Yes, we've watched all the American seasons. We've watched the Irish version, which is brilliant.
Brilliant.
And that's going to be added to BBC iPlayer. So if anybody in the UK hasn't seen that, that will be on iPlayer soon. We've also watched
Australia.
Oh yeah, we watched the Australian one. 2 seasons of that. We watched the first season of the New Zealand one.
Yes.
And we've got the Spanish one to watch as well.
In Canada.
Oh yeah, oh God, we've watched a lot.
We actually do something, like lots more things other than watch TV, by the way.
We are Traitors obsessive, so we watch it constantly. And I quite like when they encounter a first on Traitors. So obviously, I think Australia season 2 was the one where the finale was like something happened that has never happened before on any of the other seasons that we watched. And in this season of Celebrity Traitors, they had a draw at the round table and they voted again and it was still a draw. So they had to get rid of somebody by chance.
Spoiler alert number 2.
Yeah. So that was quite cool. That was fun. That was quite tense.
Yes, it was good. Still very annoyed that they haven't got a traitor yet. But I think this week, Joe, Big Joe, with his big dog theory, is going to be gunning after Jonathan for sure.
Can we talk about Joe for a second, though?
Absolutely.
We do like a big rugby player.
Oh, my God. Big Joe.
Big Joe. But what I actually want to talk about him is, did you see the TikTok video of Joe Marler getting transformed into a drag queen?
Not just a drag queen, but a phenomenal drag queen.
Phenomenal. Like,
he looked amazing.
Absolutely amazing. I commented on the TikTok video that the makeup artist put up with Joe being transformed into a drag queen, and basically made a comment just saying, in a world so full of toxic masculinity, Joe is a phenomenal role model for young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that has, like, I woke up and my phone had like over 1,000 notifications from TikTok.
What?
Yeah. Like that comment that I put on really seemed to resonate with people. But it's true. There's like, in a world so full of the likes of Andrew Tate and Conor McGregor, just absolute scumbags.
Yeah.
I think the antidote to those manosphere toxic influencers is people like Joe Marler.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's funny because, like, when he first was on The Traitors, like, I think I'm a very good judge of character. And I was like, I bet he's a good egg. And turns out he's also a good egg, but he's also an ally.
Yes.
Love it.
And as much as we're loving Traitors at the minute, we are actually loving
Drag Race España.
And?
Drag Race UK.
Yeah. So, like, Drag Race is in full force.
Slation Royale.
There are so many franchises of Drag Race at the minute that it feels like a full-time job keeping up with them.
Drag Race, Drag Race, Drag Race, Drag Race.
So we still have the last two episodes of Drag Race Philippines Slation Royale to watch.
Which is phenomenal again. If anybody hasn't watched it yet, watch it. It is brilliant.
One of the lip syncs on that season is one of the best lip syncs I have seen on any franchise of Drag Race. It is phenomenal.
Yes, I can confirm.
Definitely worth a watch. But yeah, so what we're watching at the minute is Drag Race UK and Drag Race España.
And if you haven't watched any of Drag Race España, it's phenomenal. Probably one of the best franchises out there. And it's probably made because of the judging panel. Supreme Deluxe, Los Javis, and Unlocking.
Unlocking. Ding, 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 ding. I do. Do you know my favourite thing about Drag Race España is that judging panel? Mm-hmm. Because they make it what it is. They make it feel like a family. Mm-hmm. They really care, like properly care deeply about the contestants.
Like Drag Race America, like the main Drag Race is good, but I feel it's a bit not commercialized as such, but it's just that RuPaul just sometimes seems a little bit insincere in it. Whereas with Supreme Deluxe, like she actually feels those eliminations, doesn't she? Like she cries. Like there's been a few episodes where we've cried before because it does feel like a family. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's got something special.
It does. I don't know what it is. I think if they could bottle that special sauce with Drag Race España and sprinkle a little bit of it on the other franchises, it would make them way better as well. There is just a magic that they have managed to get.
Yeah.
On the Spanish version that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we love it. And it's also helped us learn a little bit of Spanish.
But more importantly,
gay Spanish!
Because the Spanish, and then there's gay Spanish.
There is Spanish and then there's gay Spanish. And the gay Spanish tends to be delivered the same way that gay people walk.
Fast. Yes, it's very fast.
The other thing that is really good about it is the pit crew.
Right, should we talk about that?
Hip.
Where did I get set up?
Two Doors Down reference there, if anybody watches Two Doors Down.
The thing I love about the pit crew on Drag Race España is there's all body types on it as well. There's everything from bears to little twinks on it, and it's special.
Yeah, it's I think the diversity of the pit crew is what makes it really, really good, because there is like a broad spectrum of the gay community in there. I mean, I don't think he has been on this season just yet, but there is a trans guy who's on the pit crew as well. What? And it's really phenomenal to have that kind of representation, because there are so many people I think can feel overlooked in our community, are forgotten about, or not made to feel worthwhile because they don't fit a certain aesthetic, mm, or they're not in with a certain crowd. And for me, the thing I love about Drag Race España is what I look for in any sort of gay community or space, which is that there is real diversity there. There's lots of different types of people, and it's not just, and I'm not bashing them because that, like, they are their own thing, but that kind of like circuit gay.
Mm-hmm.
Who it's all about body beautiful, and there's maybe a perception of aloofness there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've also been watching Drag Race UK at the minute. That's really good because we have a kind of a local queen taking part in that.
Yes, another Sparkles queen.
Another Sparkles queen.
Shout out to Sparkles and the Yumbo.
Yeah, that's the third.
Yes.
The Vivienne, which is where we first met the Vivienne in Sparkles.
Mm-hmm.
Before she was on Drag Race.
Yeah.
Michael Marulli, who worked in Sparkles and then in Ricky's.
Mm-hmm.
And now Bonnie Ann Clyde.
Bonnie Ann Clyde, yes. She's done amazing. Her Thursday was amazing.
That, you will know this. I'm going to address the camera right now because one of my favourite sitcoms of all time is ABBA. I absolutely adore it. And for them to do an episode dedicated to it was amazing. But what topped it for me was Bonnie and Clyde's runway, because my favorite quote from that series ever is Thursday. It just gets me.
That was uncanny.
it was uncanny. I don't know why. I just think it's so stupid. It's so silly. And it's so my humor. And for Bonnie and Clyde to come out in that runway, to not only do that, but to get it so spot on. She had the replica outfit. It was created with passion, clearly, because it was so well done. She deserved that win. That was phenomenal.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, but maybe we should have said at the start there's going to be spoilers for everything. Yeah, it was a really, really good episode. Loving the UK series, yeah. As always. What's this season?
Seven.
That's mental that there's been 7 seasons of the UK one.
As somebody who has watched Drag Race since season 1 of the US,
I'm old.
Like, I remembered all those years ago when it first started, going back nearly 2 decades now, I used to have to download it from dodgy torrent websites because you could not get it. There was no UK broadcaster for Drag Race for a long time. You couldn't get it on streaming services. And the only way you could watch it from the UK was to watch it on some dodgy website or to download it illegally.
Yeah.
So I have legitimately been watching Drag Race since season 1 went out. And it is incredible to see how much it's evolved, and it's become an empire that is launched so many careers, and it's furthered the gay agenda.
Yes, and you know, anything that helps that is a win in my book.
Yeah, sequins and glitter is the real gay agenda.
So we obviously found out this week that Manchester Pride has unfortunately went into liquidation, which is a real shame. It being one of the biggest prides in the UK.
This year, we have seen quite a few different Pride organisations come into trouble, particularly financial trouble. This week, we saw Manchester Pride go into liquidation, which is a huge hammer blow for the community. Mm. But Manchester is... it has always been such a gay mecca. It's got a really vibrant scene. It's where Queer as Folk was set originally. Mm-hmm. And
sorry to interrupt, but gays of a certain age, our age, Queer as Folk has such a special place on our hearts. Do you know what I mean? Watching it in your bedroom with the volume down, hoping that your mummy or dad or whoever would not walk in.
Yeah,
catch you watching it, because it was so like. So ahead of its time at the time as well.
And this is, I'm going to put my granddad outfit on and go, before the internet, we didn't really have representation. We didn't see a lot of this stuff.
No.
And Queer as Folk was a revelation. I remember watching it as a young gay guy in Belfast, closeted, not really knowing or being able to come to terms with my own feelings. Mm. I'm watching it and suddenly I did not feel quite so alone anymore.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever took a trip to Manchester and set foot in Canal Street, it was like a pilgrimage. It really did mean something to me. If you've got any kind of like link or association with Manchester, you've ever been there for a night out, this news about Pride going into administration is really tough news.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like going to Manchester thing is like a kind of rite of passage for gay guys our age, because again, watching Queer as Folk and seeing that and actually thinking, oh my God, this little bubble that you live in, you know, because a lot of gay guys, they grew up in small towns, like you grew up in Belfast, I grew up just outside of Glasgow, and you think that that is your life, you don't realise that all this kind of stuff is happening. So then when you see things like that on TV and then you travel somewhere like that and experience it, you know, it's really... foundation memories that you have, you know, of like first time being gay, first time going out, going to the clubs, going to the bars. So it's really, really sad. So obviously they went into voluntary liquidation and we don't know the ins and outs of it. But in my opinion, is it that maybe Pride has just become a bit too commercial nowadays and it needs to go back to the roots of being a protest? Yeah, it's great and it's fun. And, you know, in a few weeks, we're going to be going out to Winter Pride here and having lots and lots of fun. But the message is always it's Pride as a protest first.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with going to Pride and having a party at Pride. It's brilliant that we can do that because we have the freedom to party openly and be ourselves. That is part of the protest as well. It's about living freely without inhibitions and without feeling that we need to hide anymore. But it can't just be a party. It has to be more than that. It has to be about pushing for equal rights, even and especially today when rights are starting to be rolled back. I think we have seen quite a lot of corporations turn their backs on us because of pressure from the likes of Donald Trump. Definitely this year, more than others, fewer organizations were making small gestures like putting rainbows on their social media avatars. It was noticeable, and we are definitely seeing less corporate funding being put towards LGBTQIA causes. I don't know if that had anything to do with what's happened with Manchester. I know certainly other prides, that has been a factor for them. We really do need to get back to our roots here. It needs to be community focused. It needs to be community orientated at all times. And we need to realise that this is getting serious now.
Absolutely. And, you know, we spoke about it during the week as well, about the artists that haven't been paid. You know, like they support the LGBTQAI community like year in, year out. And for them to show up and support us and then not get the reward from that is really heartbreaking. So hopefully something will happen with that as well, that they get what they deserve.
It is a really bad state of affairs. And I really hope that it focuses minds. I hope we start seeing more people join the boards of their local prides, start to get involved in organisation and fundraising and awareness and all of these things so that we can really get that sense of community back at Pride.
Shall we talk about those transphobes, Roisin Murphy and J.K. Rowling?
Let's not talk about them too long because I don't want my blood to boil.
Yes, they don't deserve the airtime, to be honest.
No.
But again, there's an artist that has made her career on the back of the queer community and she has just completely turned her back on us.
Roisin Murphy has gone full MAGA.
Yes.
She is sharing MAGA propaganda, showing, and for those who don't know, she shared a graph which is supposedly demonstrates that fewer and fewer people are now identifying as queer. And that is on the back of a complete clampdown by the very far right US administration. And so it's no surprise that fewer people are identifying because they are scared to identify themselves.
Yes.
For fear of backlash, for fear of what this administration is going to do.
But she's put out there that it's some sort of gotcha because her and all her little turfy pals are fighting their case and their corner. But actually, it's just like you said, people are too scared to now identify as queer, trans, non-binary, whatever it might be.
Totally. And you could not put a fag paper between turfs and racists at the minute because they're one and the same. Yeah. This proves it. The MAGA agenda that we're seeing play out in America, they're coming after queer people. They're coming after immigrants. We've seen ICE agents do horrific things. Like you showed me a video yesterday of a blind guy being picked up by ICE and dragged.
It made me feel sick when I watched it. It was just unbelievable. I actually couldn't believe my eyes. This guy was sitting on the ground peacefully protesting and they picked him up and dragged him along the ground, banged his head off the ground and took him into, I think it was a nice facility, can't really tell from the video, but I'm actually lost for words because it's so scary.
Anybody who doesn't agree with the administration's agenda is getting labelled as Antifa and as a terrorist. And we're seeing people who do not have white skin being rounded up, being thrown into what are essentially concentration camps without any due process. Some people are being deported to countries that they've never been to before. And it really is a case of first they came for the immigrants. Because who are they going to go after next?
Exactly.
They're clearly going to come after trans people. Then once they've been able to do that, they're going to come after the rest of the Rainbow family.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what happens in America then comes over to the UK, doesn't it?
It's really worrying.
Super, super scary. And the amount of people that I recently have blocked on social media, because it's LGBTQI people, and this blows my mind, that are supporting reform, is just...
I cannot wrap my head around...
Flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted. Tom Daley would not like you at all. I can't get my head around anybody who is gay, lesbian, bi, trans, whatever part of the queer spectrum that you occupy. I cannot get my head around you voting against our interests. Mm. It is scary.
Yes. Take a hard look at yourself.
Take a hard look.
That you tell, there's a wee Glasgow face, mate. Take a hard look at yourself. I will say, though, we are sitting here in Gran Canaria, very lucky to be here.
Mm.
And we can walk down the street holding hands and not bat an eyelid. So we are sitting from a place of privilege at the moment. I do need to say that, because before we left Glasgow, so Derek and I have been together 8 years. And
8 long years.
And when we first started seeing each other, we'd walk about Glasgow holding hands, absolutely no bother. But probably a couple of years before we left, we wouldn't do it because we just felt that shift and we would feel uncomfortable doing it in Glasgow city centre. Glasgow on the whole is quite an accepting city, I would say. But we experienced homophobia a few years back. We'd just finished lunch. We're up the West End, which is a really nice area of Glasgow. We were holding hands, crossing the road, and a guy in a van started hurling some abuse at us. And of course, me bringing my 5'5" scrappy-do energy wanted to start a fight with him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you need to fight back. Let's go back to that thing about Pride being a protest. You know, we need to fight back. We need to show people that the more you push us, the more we're going to push back.
Yeah, but you can fight back and you can stand up for yourself, but you will know after that incident where, and it was a hate crime incident that we experienced, we didn't freely just hold each other's hands in the street anymore. We always looked over our shoulders first to see who was around before we held hands.
Mm-hmm.
So that incident changed how we behaved.
Mm-hmm.
And it really annoyed me that changed us.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I felt that I had to do that.
Yeah. And that's just, like, we experienced that on a small scale.
Mm.
Now, fast forward to now and everything that's happening in the world against queer people, like, I'm sure lots more people experience worse things than we do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's stick together.
There are forces at play who want to divide us. There are forces who quite openly, every single day on social media, are posting images showing the TQ being cut off, the LGBTQ, trying to make it LGB. This idea that the trans people and queer people are not part of the lesbian, gay and bisexual community. And it is absolute nonsense. As I have been out for a very, very long time, I've always been involved in the queer community wherever I've lived. It has always been, for me, just a melting pot because there is so much intersectionality.
I think as a rainbow community, we need to remember that all the people that fought for our rights before us, and actually a lot of those people were actually trans people that stood up and started the riots, started the protests, and we're able to sit here on our couch in Gran Canaria because of them.
We stand on the shoulders of giants and quite a lot of trans people who have gone out there and put it on the line to fight for our rights.
Yes.
So we owe it, we absolutely owe it to fight for everybody's rights here. So, how's your week been in the gym?
My week has been great because the gym we go to is full of talent.
The gym that we go to is full of Spanish talent.
I was going to say, yeah, not just talent, but Spanish talent.
Yeah, no. The gym that we go to, there are lots of very beautiful people. It makes you feel very humble.
Yes, yes. If anybody has been to Gran Canaria, specifically Mas Palomas, it's a Titan gym down in Melaneras. It's a brilliant gym. If you're ever coming over and you need a gym, we'll always recommend you because it is a top notch gym. But apart from the talent, my week in the gym has actually been very, very good. I started a couple of weeks ago a new upper lower full body push pull program, and it's going very well. I am seeing my strength increase quite a bit over the past few weeks as well. It's 2 weeks on tomorrow until the start of Winter Pride, so we're really
it's nice to have that target because you want to feel confident. I don't particularly go to the gym specifically for the aesthetics of it, but that is a nice bonus. I like what I see in the mirror, and that gives me some confidence. It puts a little extra pep in my step. So having that target of Mass Palomas Winter Pride to attend, to feel like I'm my best self, is really, really good. It's pushed me a little bit too.
Yeah. And, you know, confidence is different for everyone. You know, it could be that you want to feel confident in your clothes. It could be that you want to feel confident when you're on the naked, the nude beach, you know. It's different for everyone. So, yeah, I think we've had a good focus the past few weeks with our health and fitness. And for me especially, I am a lover of routine. And when I'm out of routine, that really, really affects me. So
I know. I know.
So knowing that Winter Pride was coming up, I was like, okay, so it's this many weeks, which means I'll get this many gym sessions in. And it really, really helps with my mental health. Like, if I am out of a gym routine for any more than a couple of weeks, I'm a nightmare to live with.
I know. So I, on the other hand, opposites do attract, because I am a creature of chaos.
Yes.
Pure chaos and uncertainty.
I know.
Not that I thrive without a routine. I just find it very difficult because I have got diagnosed ADHD. I've got quite severe ADHD. And so for me, there are times in my life where I have the routine and everything runs perfectly and it's great and all the plates are spinning perfectly. And then one by one, they start to crash down and that routine is gone. And it's got, you know how much I struggle with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's quite important to talk about it today. I wanted to talk about it on the podcast because I have had a really difficult couple of months. So you know that since we moved here, it's been difficult for me because I've lost my primary care in the UK.
Yeah.
And then moving here, I didn't have access to my medication and things. So it's been really, really difficult. But as of this week, I am medicated again.
Yes.
And you're very happy about that?
Yes.
So do you know, I actually have them here. So these are my magic pills. These are my Concerta. It's methylphenidate, slow release. I take one in the morning and then for the next 12 hours, I am a normal human being.
Do you know what? It's been great this week because I do the morning dog walk with Haggis and I've came back and Derek has been basically on his hands and knees cleaning the place with a toothpick.
And that is the word of a lie, I actually have. Alan came in to clean house in the morning. It's brilliant. Alan came in and found me and I was on my hands and knees at the shower because it just wasn't clean enough. So I was using a toothpick to do some detailed cleaning in the shower. And I had a stark realization about how bad my ADHD had gotten unmedicated. And that was what I was doing medicated.
There's a little insight to my life.
Yeah. But it has been good. It's been a sudden change this week. It's not been all plain sailing, but I feel like I am getting back to where I was again. I feel like I'm getting back properly into a regular gym routine.
Yeah.
That I am able to bring a little more structure to my life and a little less chaos.
Yeah. You're getting back to Derek.
Getting back to, yeah,
basically
this version of me.
Yeah. Which it has been great. It's been good. It's been good that difference in you this week has been crazy.
Particularly as somebody who works in the fitness industry, I feel this pressure to be a certain way and for people to see me a certain way. And there is a sense of shame that comes along with not being this super disciplined fitness guy.
I think, though, that we put that pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, true.
It's a little bit of imposter syndrome as well sometimes.
True.
Because we fall into that trap of comparison when we see other fitness professionals on Instagram, social media, and then we compare ourselves to them, you know, which is very unhealthy. And we tell our clients not to compare themselves to other people, you know, but
yeah,
as humans, we do it, don't we?
I think that's why it's really important to talk about this and to give like the raw, unfiltered version of what my life is like with ADHD. It's not all plain sailing. It's not all like meal prep at a certain time every week and get to the gym at a certain time every day and these are my risks. It just doesn't work like that for me.
Yeah.
And I have accepted that, and my life is better for coming to terms with that rather than trying to push myself to be somebody that I am not.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's something that we coach with our clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not realistic to expect somebody who is living a busy life, who has multiple commitments, who has perhaps medical issues, to be in the gym sometimes, you know, 5-6 times a week with a really intense program and a really strict diet. Doesn't always work. That's for some people, it's not for everybody.
Yeah. And like I mentioned earlier on, like that new push-pull upper lower full body that I'm doing, I'm lucky enough that being self-employed, I can pick and choose when I work and I can go to the gym and do that. But that doesn't work for everyone. You know, you need to find what works for you. And I always say to clients, especially new clients that come on board, you tell us what you can do and we'll build that around what you can do.
Exactly.
Rather than us saying you need to be in the gym X amount of times, because if you can't do it, you won't stick to it and then you'll hate us.
Yeah. And well, this week anyway, you have really benefited from having a live-in cleaner.
Yeah, it has been nice actually.
Giving you a bit more time in the gym, eh? Yes. Less for you to do.
Aye, it's been quite nice actually. Welcome.
So this is something that we want to do as a regular segment in the podcast.
Yep.
Which is talk about things that we've seen on Reddit, particularly some of the fitness Reddit stuff. There was a post that I saw this week that I loved, and I wanted to read some of this out and to share it and to chat about it, because I think it'll really help some people, particularly people who are beginners or who suffer from some sort of anxiety going to the gym.
And can I just preface this with, we also suffer anxiety going to the gym as well. Sometimes, like I was saying, the gym that we go to is kind of like a semi-professional bodybuilding gym. And everyone that's in there, all the guys, all the women, they are all absolutely stunning. And if we take a break from the gym, even for a couple of weeks, we feel quite anxious getting back into it as well, don't we?
Yeah.
So even though we are fitness professionals, we also get anxious, go to the gym as well sometimes. You know what it's like if you go down to the free weight section and there's big muscle Marys there, you're like, oh, I'm not going anywhere near that.
For us, like, we know better. We know to kind of talk ourselves out of that, mm-hmm. because we've been doing it for so long. But it still does, it can be an intimidating place. I think especially for queer people, the gym can be an intimidating place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But there are ways around it. I think you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone, and you have to keep pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And when you keep doing it consistently over time, it becomes less and less intimidating.
Yeah. And I think what you're just about to read kind of hits the nail on the head for that point.
So this post is in r/beginnerfitness, and it's titled, "For Those Afraid to Go to the Gym, Please Don't." I'm going to bring this closer because my eyes aren't what they used to be.
She old.
"For those afraid to go to the gym, please don't. I went for the first time today. Just some slight encouragement, mostly for people scared to go to the gym because everyone else will laugh at this. 6 or 7 weeks ago, I finally started to do something to lose weight, be in a deficit, walk more, etc. But this time I wanted to do it properly. So I also started to eat more protein and thought about strength training."
Amazing.
All very good so far, yeah. "I thought about the gym, but hell no. As a total couch potato introvert, over 40-year-old obese dude, can you imagine stepping foot in the gym filled to the brim with young, fit people, powerlifters and whatnot? What would I even do there? Probably just be awkward, try to do some stupid shit and end up in a funny gym fails compilation on YouTube. But I still wanted to do some training, so what I did was bought a pair of adjustable dumbbells. 2 dumbbells up to 10 kilograms each should be good for a couple of months, right? No. I ran out of weight in like 2 weeks.
Amazing.
And that is what it's all about. It's about that progress.
Mm-hmm.
10 kilograms isn't really much, not even for a total beginner. So I bought additional plates so I could have 2 times 20 kilos, but I still ran out of weight in 3 weeks.
Brilliant.
So they go on to say that they realized they needed to go to the gym. I thought about it for a couple of days and finally got myself together to go to the gym. Fine, I'll be a laughing stock, so be it. Holy shit, it was not what I expected. Turned out that the gym was massive, with maybe 25 people in it. Loads and loads of very weird machines, benches, weights, just insane amount of everything. Zero scary powerlifters or ultra fit influencers. Literally no one cared about me or even looked at me. Some girls watching YouTube on treadmills, some skinny teenagers trying to lift, one absolute unit of a dude that just went in, bench pressed some ridiculous weight and bailed, one older guy trying some light calisthenics. Done. And they go on to say that they had lots and lots of fun, they'd been back, and it just was not what they had built it up to be in their head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that because it's the fear of the unknown that's stopping people from going to the gym sometimes. And that person there has just, you know, quashed that by saying it was absolutely fine. I say to clients all the time, when you go in the gym, if you're worried about going to a new gym or starting the gym, when you get there, have a look around. People are doing one of three things normally. Working out, doing their exercise, checking themselves out in the mirror, or they're on their phone.
Yeah. Alan checks himself out in the mirror quite a lot.
In between gym exercises.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. When you take the time to stop and look around, you realise that's actually what the gym is. Mm-hmm. And what we spoke about previously about all of these like really beautiful people with amazing bodies in our gym, they're not looking at anybody else. They are just getting home with their workouts.
Yeah. And do you know what? Sometimes I find it quite inspiring in our gym. Because, you know, it's like, well, that's maybe a level that we could potentially get to.
Yeah.
You know, because there are a lot of like big guys in there. Don't want to be that big, but, you know, it's kind of like a kind of next level thing. You know, surrounding yourself by people that inspire you is really
totally
cool.
Totally. You know? Totally. It is. You could feel that you'll never get to that stage, but it really is just about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You keep going, you keep going, you keep going, you do what you need to do. And eventually you look back and you'll think, God, I've come so far.
Yes. The big goal is always the big goal. It's the small steps that get you there,
yeah,
that are the most important. And I always say to clients as well, Progress Photos, for example, this is a really good example. When clients first come to us, they're always really scared to take their first progress photos. And I totally get it. I understand it 100%. However, you will kick yourself if you do not take your first progress photo, because see, when you take your last progress photo, the comparison is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you need to look back to see how far you've come.
I think most people can relate to a time when they have had some personal change in their life, some physical change, and it's not until you bump into somebody that you haven't seen for maybe 6 months and they see the difference in you that you can't see yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what progress photos are for. It's so that you can look at both side by side and literally be that stranger, yeah, and say, oh, you've changed.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the best job satisfaction feelings that I get when doing this job for people.
Yeah.
It's when they look at their photos and they see the difference.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. Yeah, holy shit. Because you've put in that work. Look at how different you are. And I'm going to give a shout out to one of our clients, Fraser, who has had an unbelievable transformation. He went out for his brother's birthday the other week. He went shopping before it. He bought himself new trousers, a new shirt, and a new jacket, and he sent me the photo. And I was like, holy shit, you look absolutely unbelievable. Like, you look incredible. And I hope that you can see that. And he could, which was great.
Good. I think Fraser's transformation has been inspirational. It really has. For anybody watching this on YouTube, we'll put some before and afters up to show Fraser's transformation. It has been just amazing to watch this guy change from the inside out.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm so proud of him, and I know you are as well. Yeah. He is a totally different guy.
And he is so much more confident in the gym now.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the Reddit post, it's that fear. It's overcoming that fear of what people might think of you, of what might happen in the gym. And it always comes back to fear. Mm. No matter what it is in life, it always comes back to fear of something.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is about overcoming that.
Yeah. So I think we've maybe rambled on for long enough. What do you think?
I think so.
Yeah. So shameless plug coming up. If you've enjoyed the episode, we'd love to hear from you. The best place to get in contact with us would be through Instagram. Send us a message. We'd love to hear what you think about the first episode. Also, maybe some ideas for future episodes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to get feedback. If people want to tell us what the content for our future episodes would be,
yeah,
that would save me a job. I would love that.
Please do.
We will be back next Sunday. Find us on all major podcasting platforms as well as YouTube. And remember to hit the subscribe button so that you can keep up with the conversation.
But for now, thanks for listening and over and outlifting.